Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. It's been my heart for many years to encourage others on their journey of spiritual leadership. And when I use the word spiritual, I'm thinking of the work of the Holy Spirit through my life and hopefully through your life as well, that we would not lead simply in the ways of the world, but that we would lead according to God's Spirit and God's Word. And so welcome, and it's my prayer that God is blessing you in the midst of this summer of 2022. By the way, as we come toward the end of the summer, I'm very mindful of the Spiritual Leadership Conference right around the corner here in Lancaster, California, September 18 to 21. We have some fantastic speakers this year coming in from all over the world. Dr. Daniel Kim from Seoul, Korea, a man who's pastored for 62 years, a man who has hosted the longest running radio broadcast in that country's history. Brother Wayne Shemesh from Thailand. We're excited to hear from these men from the 1040 window. We have some great preachers from right here in our own country. We're excited to welcome Evangelist Scott Pauley will be with us, Pastor Dean Miller, many, many others. And then, of course, we have about 50 sessions dealing with various subjects that I think are going to be very helpful. We have subjects on apologetics, subjects on the issues of the day. How do we as pastors deal with the encroachments of a woke philosophy on the church? Or how do we deal with many of the challenges of the social justice movement? And what is the biblical answer to these things? We have sessions dealing with outreach and dealing with the care of the members of the church. I just think it's going to be a practical time of equipping, and then, of course, a great time of hearing preaching that stirs our hearts. And I know we all need to hear preaching and be challenged, even though many of us do preaching ourselves. Well, I hope you'll join us on September the 18th through the 21st. If we can help you with lodging or airport runs or anything of that nature, we're excited with the great response already, and we'd love to have you join with us. You know, last time we were together on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, we were taking time to discuss the journey of ministry. And we were talking from 1 Corinthians 15:58 about being steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And today we want to finish this two-part podcast as we consider the journey of ministry. I've been preaching now for 40 years. That seems hard for me to believe. And here in this same church for 36 years. And as I've looked back over the journey, I've tried to jot down some of the principles that have kept us moving forward in ministry. I began the podcast a few weeks ago by talking about the fact that this has been a journey of soul winning. You know, when you start the church in particular, there's no one to hear you preach unless you're out telling others about Jesus, inviting them to church. And that part of the journey has never been let go. We're still active in soul winning and challenging and training others. It's been also a journey of servant leadership. That was not my motto when I first started. I had been mentored under some more autocratic and different styles of leadership. But the Lord began to place into my heart a desire to lead more like Him. And so this has been a journey of growing in servant leadership. Then we talked about the journey as a journey of biblical preaching. I think most of us would say, you know, you can look back to your early outlines and go, how did anybody listen to me when I preached those sermons? But for these 40 years of preaching, I have tried with ever more fervency to increase my biblical content and to try to help people to develop convictions and principles that are from the Word of God. And then, of course, it's been a journey of intentional discipleship, doing everything we know how to do to take people who are coming to faith in Christ and help them to grow through discipleship. The last several years, that's been a big, big emphasis on our continued discipleship materials that are published through Striving Together publications. Hundreds of churches are using Continue, and it certainly gives Christians a great foundation in their newfound faith. And then, of course, we ended last podcast talking about the journey of biblical integrity. And just the fact that whether it's our personal integrity in the community, whether it's our moral integrity with our commitments to the Lord and our wives and family, or doctrinal integrity, or even financial integrity, that no one will sustain 30, 40 years or more unless they're taking care of this matter of their character. And I believe that each and every one of us could tell of stories of those that were in the ministry and they're not now because they didn't emphasize these areas of integrity. So it truly is a journey. And today I want to share with you five more principles that we have emphasized, not necessarily saying we've mastered all these, but these are pursuits, holy pursuits in the journey of ministry that God has blessed. And this next one might sound a little strange to you right at first, but let me share it with you, and I trust it'll be a help to you. You know, this journey, as we come to number six, has been a journey of loving separation, a journey of loving separation. And by that, I mean that I've never lost sight of the fact that the Christian life is a holy life, that God has called us to come out and be separate from this world. Now, a sinful culture is something that we want to be separate from. 2 Corinthians 6:17 calls us out as believers. And I must say, in my early years, the way we tried to emphasize this was just with lists. And so we would try to get somebody to live by a list of 10 or 15 things. And we thought, all right, good. If they live by that list, then they're separated now. And the Lord began to teach me that separation is not merely about lists. In fact, sometimes lists can become very onerous and legalistic in the sense of just, you know, here's the list of things I have to do. And I'm not against lists from the standpoint of using them in the schools and college and so forth. I think young people maybe need us to help them understand in some very basic terms some of the requirements of school. But for people that are growing in the local church, the Lord has really impressed upon my heart over these last 40 years that while lists may be rudimentary or elementary for someone that's starting out, there's some things that are much deeper, and that would include learning how to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, learning how to walk in the Spirit. You know, you don't have to tell a Spirit-filled Christian they need to go soul winning or they shouldn't watch dirty movies. That's something the Holy Spirit can tell them and teach them. And if we can teach them to walk in the Spirit, and so as we have been on this journey of biblical separation, it's been a journey of learning not only how to live a separated life, but how to help others do that. And we have found that walking in the Spirit and growing in the Word of God, nothing can ever replace that. Also, when I think of separation for these 40 years, we've tried to practice separation in the area of the contemporary theological compromise. We have seen so many things in our 40 years from the standpoint of all different kinds of gatherings that de-emphasize doctrine and seemingly lift up either false doctrine or no doctrine. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:8, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? We have tried with our pulpit to have men in who are teaching the doctrine that we teach or with respect to where we go to try to guard our testimony so that we are not in some way giving advocacy for someone who may teach false doctrine. And I do believe that there is place for separation in the sense of living a life that's unto Christ and also living a life as a pastor and as a teacher that is consistently doctrinally correct. And so this has been a part of our journey, weighing out activities, weighing out alliances, and trying to be sensitive to the Lord. I think at times I've probably been a little too worried about what fellow pastors would think about some of these things, but I certainly want to be sensitive to the Lord with every invitation to preach, with every upcoming meeting that we might promote or not promote. Is this something that is sound doctrinally? And then I want to say this, and this is the part that may seem a little different for some of you, but for me, this has been a journey of separation at times from what I call imbalanced Baptists. Sometimes in my life, I have come across Baptist people who doctrinally are fine. They're not compromising a particular doctrine, at least on their doctrinal statement, things look fine. And in respect to their family life, they may seemingly have a family life that seems to be fine. but there are issues in their lives that would cause me to have discomfort. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us." Paul makes the case that sometimes as a leader, you're going to have certain Christian friends that maybe doctrinally, they believe in Christ, they follow certain doctrines that are correct, but you separate from a brother. And at times, I think any of you that have been in the ministry for a period of time would understand, for whatever reason, there's certain people you had good, close fellowship with, and that is no longer the case. And in my life, at times, it's been perhaps men that were just angry in their spirit, and I just felt it wasn't edifying for me to be around. Or they were making much more of preferences than of doctrine, and it was always about their institution or their pet peeve or something of this nature. And from time to time, I've had to just pull back from people who were of a wrong spirit, people who were unnecessarily divisive. Yes, we separate from those who perhaps doctrinally have drifted, but I believe as a pastor and as a Christian, separation is going to be a part of the Christian life. Jesus Christ came in many instances we see in the New Testament to bring a sword, and truth will bring that sword. And yet there are also times when, while someone may have the same truth on their doctrinal statement, their spirit is not becoming of a Christian. And you may not feel led to have close fellowship with that person. And so the journey of loving separation is a part of the journey. And I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, you're never going to get everyone to agree with you all the time. And certainly in our lifetime, we've seen that to be the case. I don't think it needs to be a malicious spirit of separation or always a condemning spirit. If it's a sin issue, speak to the issue. If truth is being compromised, speak to the issue. Sometimes if it's just someone that you just feel like, I can't continue walking in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Just go on winning souls and doing what you're doing and leave their situation to the Lord. The seventh principle that I want to share is that this has been a journey where we have been seeking for biblical balance. And you know, everyone talks about balance. We all think we're the most balanced. But I'll not say that other than to say, here are some things we've tried to balance. First of all, we've tried to balance with our students having rules and also having relationships. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Now, can I tell you that in 36 years of pastoring, there have been times when our schools maybe have been a little more on the rules side, or maybe sometimes a little too on the relationship side. If you're too much on the rule side, you're going to discourage people. If you're too much on the relationship side, you may not have the order or the respect that's needed. And so there's a balance. A teacher must have grace and truth like Jesus Christ himself. And so we've constantly been striving to have love for people, encouragement for people, and yes, having in the institutions maybe some rules as well. And then also, we've tried to have in our city here and in our county, the balance between grace and truth. Grace is, of course, God's favor to us, but it's also our disposition towards others. We've tried to have a gracious disposition while we speak the truth. And there are people in leadership in our community that we disagree with on certain issues, but we try to disagree in a Christ-like manner. And also in our preaching and in our ministry, we've tried to have a spirit of grace and truth. And so I believe this is an important part of our quest as we seek to have the balance that God has called us to in the Christian life. And I think everyone expects the church to be a place where they can hear the truth, but they want to hear it in a spirit of grace. And so let me encourage you today, give grace to people, even people of differing opinions. Let them grow. Let them have time to understand maybe the truth that maybe is new to them. Show kindness to them as they're growing in grace, especially new Christians, and help them to make decisions based upon the teaching of the Word of God. We want to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want to say this. This has been a journey not only of biblical separation, seeking biblical balance, but it's been a journey of commitment. And let me tell you what I mean by that. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 6 that as Nehemiah gathered and began doing the work, that Sanballat and Tobiah came and they tried to get him to come down off of that wall. And you'll recall what Nehemiah said. He said, "I cannot come down." He said, "I am doing a great work. Why should the work cease while I come down? Why should it leave off while I come down to you?" Now, if you've been in the ministry any length of time at all, there have been times when you've had to recommit to your calling. You've had those Sanballats and Tobias that have said, "You ought to just quit," or "You're not worth your salt." There have been times when you yourself have thought that of yourself and perhaps felt like quitting. And maybe I'm talking to someone right now who in your ministry, you've been at a church 12, 14, 15 years, and you're just wondering, "Am I done?" And I want to encourage you today, if the Lord will let you, to recommit. Everyone hits those walls. I remember one time we were having some trouble in our church and had some families that had moved, I think back in the mid-90s, and it was discouraging, and I'm sure that we could have handled some things a little better, but there was a lot of nitpicking and that type of a spirit. And I remember going home and talking to Terry about it one day, and Terry said, "Look," she said, "Paul, you can do whatever you want to do. Just promise me that you won't leave this church until Matthew graduates from high school." And I said, "Okay, honey, I promise." I think Matthew was in the second grade when she asked me to say that. And what she was basically saying is, pull up your bootstraps and get through this, and God will make a way. And I truly believe that He will. We've been through seasons where we've had numerous people just successively that have passed away with cancer and different things, and that can be challenging. We've had this COVID season we've been through. We've had seasons where the economy was up, the economy was down. We've had times when everybody loved you. We've had times when it felt like everybody hated us. You can't preach the gospel for 40 years without going through some of those times. But we've tried to be committed to Christ. And I think really that's the key. The Bible says we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And when you're serving people, you're going to be discouraged. So make sure that you're doing it as unto the Lord. Keep your focus on Christ. We've tried to love His church. And we've tried to be committed to this church and committed in our marriage as well. So this is a journey of commitment. It's a journey of recommitment. No one who surrenders to preach at a particular age is going to go through all their life, all the time, just on top. There's going to be times when Sanballat and Tobiah are saying, "Come off the wall." There's going to be people telling you, "Quit." There's going to be people telling you, "Move." There's going to be people telling you, "Your time here is done." And sometimes it's even other Christians that say these things. And I want to encourage you that if you're going to have some longevity, you've got to determine to stay committed. And then I want to say this. Our journey has been a journey where we have been seeking unity amongst God's people. Unity does not come from forced uniformity. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Our theme verse here at Lancaster Baptist is Philippians 1:27, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we've really worked at this with our church family. We've tried whenever there's a hurt feelings to reconcile that, whenever there's sin to confront it. We've done our best, and I believe the Lord has blessed it. I don't know how you measure unity. I know that as we had services this last Sunday, there was complete freedom. There's not one single person in the church that irks me or that I know that's irked with me. We work at this. We pray about it. We go to people. And we have the same Savior. We have the same doctrine. We have the same eternal home. And we've really worked on this matter of maintaining a spirit of unity. And then finally, it's been a journey of joy. I don't mean to imply that we haven't had nights where we've wept. We've had those. We've had many difficult days. But you know, I want to say this to the glory of God. He's given us joy for the journey. It's a joy for me to come in and work with our staff. It's a joy for me to be with our people. And I just thank God for the calling that He's placed upon my life. I think that joy comes, first of all, from the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I think that joy comes, secondly, through vibrant worship. I'm so saddened sometimes, and I know it's important to talk about worship, and I don't want to have a carnal service. I don't want to have some service that's like a nightclub or a rock concert. I totally get that. But it saddens me that there's so much criticism about worship, because worship should be a joyful topic. We should love singing for the Lord, and we should love coming together. And I know for me, I love singing and praising God at Lancaster Baptist Church. Another way I think we've kept unity is by focusing on the cross. You know, if you can keep pointing people to the cross, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what our trial is, when we look to the cross, everything comes into perspective. And then we've had joy through Christian fellowship. Sometimes it's home fellowships where certain members have other members to their home. Sometimes it's a youth activity, couples retreat. But there's something good about being with God's people. And this is not something that I can tell you that we've mastered. It's not like every service or every member of our church is just so full of joy every day. I wish that was true, but it's a part of our journey. It's something that I would say to you this afternoon, that we're pressing toward the mark. And that is the mark of the prize of our Lord Jesus Christ, the high calling of God in Christ. And as we press toward Christ, he brings that joy into our life. Now, again, these are thoughts about our journey. We have not yet apprehended, Paul said. I've not yet apprehended. But we're journeying along the way, seeking to be separated from those doctrines or practices that displease the Lord. Separating ourselves from people whose mannerisms and attitudes are fleshly. It's been a journey of seeking to have a biblical balance, grace and truth and rules and relationships, and to walk with a balance that's pleasing to Christ. It's been a journey of commitment and recommitment. When Sanballat and Tobiah have said, get off the wall, we've had to get with the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be faithful. It's been a journey where we have sought unity. Many times I've had to go to someone and say, hey, I'm sorry if I said that in the wrong way, or maybe someone's come and apologized to me, or maybe we've had to confront someone who's been sowing discord. Why do we do that in the local church? Because God wants the brethren to dwell in unity. And then finally, it's been a journey of joy. Joy from the Holy Spirit, joy from worship, joy from staying focused on Christ. And we're still going along, looking forward to what God has next for us on this journey. But here are 10 principles, guiding principles, that I think will help anyone who's journeying in ministry to be found faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope something I've said today would be a help and blessing to you. I want to thank you for taking some time with us. Again, September 18 to 21, we have the Spiritual Leadership Conference. You'll find much in the way of equipping and encouraging. And we're also very excited about a brand new book coming out this September entitled Resilience, 10 chapters on how to overcome through Christ, how to overcome discouragement, how to overcome the joy breakers of the Christian life, how to overcome those times of anxiety, depression, those times of discrimination, which now churches and Christians are feeling. How can you be a resilient leader in 2022? I hope you'll pick up a copy of that book from Striving Together Publications, or maybe pick it up at the conference in just a few weeks. Thanks again for taking time with us. May God bless you on your journey of spiritual leadership.